Need prayer today. Let me see your hand. All of us need prayer. How many know somebody else that needs prayer? Let me see your hand. Most of us know somebody else that needs prayer. Why, there's probably a family member on your heart this morning, a son, a daughter, maybe a grandchild, a grandson or a granddaughter, maybe a nephew or a niece, might be a daddy or mama, or it could be a co-worker, it might be a neighbor, a friend, but we stand in the need of prayer, and the Lord has given me a message to share with you today, standing in the need of prayer. That's the title, standing in the need of prayer. How many believe our nation desperately needs prayer? Our nation is standing in the need of prayer. Our community needs prayer. Our community is standing in the need of prayer. Our marriages are standing in the need of prayer. Our schools are standing in the need of prayer. And you could go on. Our churches are standing in the need of prayer. And we all are needy people. And I want to urge you, beloved, today to go a little further when it comes to this thing of praying. Praying with the right motives. Praying for God's glory. Praying and watching God do great and mighty things. As a matter of fact, just a few days ago, I was standing back in the back of the church. And a man asked me, said, "Brother Pastor, would you pray with me that I need a job? I work," he said, "where I can't come to church on Sunday. I work all night long." I said, "All right, let's pray together. Let's believe that God can open the door." How many believe that God can open a door? Thank God the Bible says, he said, I'll open the door and no man can shut it. We prayed, this man and I did, and others did. He called me just the other day. He said, "Brother Pastor," I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "The God has answered the prayer and a door has been opened." He said, "Praise God, I'm going to work at a new place and I'm going to work Monday through Friday and I'm going to have off on Saturday and Sunday and I get to go to church." Somebody ought to say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. What a blessing, what a blessing, what a blessing. Standing in the need of prayer. Standing in the need of prayer. Besides that, I was at the hospital last Thursday up at St. Joseph Hospital with Brother Boyd Scarborough and his family. And his dad, as I mentioned earlier, was having heart surgery, open heart surgery, replacing a valve, fixing an aneurysm, as well as checking out blockages. Here's a family standing in the need of prayer and had the privilege of praying, asking God to do the healing. Asking the Lord to guide the doctors. Let me just take a quick survey. How many of you had surgery here recently over the last year or two? Let me see your hand. If you've had surgery or you know somebody else has had surgery, God does the healing. He's Jehovah Rapha, the God of heals. And standing in the need of prayer. Well, good news, he's now still in ICU, but he's going to be leaving out of ICU. That is Boyd's dad, Mike. And so, Lord willing, he'll be able to recover and get home very soon. Hardly had I finished leaving the hospital at St. Joseph in Atlanta and made my way over to Piedmont Hospital. I walked in a room of a 57-year-old man. He's laying on the bed. And they don't know what's wrong with him. He's been in the hospital for a week over in Henry County. Now he's been up at Piedmont Hospital for a solid week. They've run test after test after test. They cannot determine what this man's problem is. It's Ann Dotson's son, O'Neill. I walked in the door. He was of his room. And there he was on the bed. He said, "I don't know what's wrong. They don't know what's wrong." And he's disoriented. He's falling down. He can't remember stuff. They removed some fluid from his brain and his spinal cord. And I said, "O'Neill, do you believe that God knows what your problem is?" He said, "I do believe." How many believe that God knows what his problem is? After all, God made him and made us. The Lord knows us. And so I said, "Let's take this thing to the Lord in prayer. Let's believe that God is going to give wisdom. And let's believe that the Lord is going to raise you up and his will would be done. And he'll get the glory for it." Standing in the need of prayer. standing in the need of prayer. Last week I got a text message from a person that said, "Pastor, will you please pray for my son, 29 years old. He's all of a sudden had these knots pop up over his body. They don't know what it is. Will you pray for him?" I said, "Sure." Standing in the need of prayer. Standing in the need of prayer. I got a call on Thursday on the way home from the hospital going to the old-fashioned campfire meeting. One of our men said, "Brother Pastor, will you pray for my brother? I don't think he's right with God. I don't think he's ready to meet God. He says he's a Christian, but I've got my doubts about it. Pray for him." And I said, "Well, let's pray together." We got there on the telephone and joined together. How many believe there's real power when we agree together? Two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Where two or three are gathered together, there am I, Jesus said, in the midst of them. The power of prayer. Prayer not only changes things, hallelujah, it changes me and it changes you. And that's what we need. It's got to change us from glory to glory. By the way, if you're sitting here today and you say, "Well, you know, everything's going good with me," don't you let what God's going to say to you today just go right over your head. Reminds me of the three men that went hunting. How many of you have been turkey hunting this year? Can I get somebody to raise their hand? Old Weston told me he's already killed two turkeys already this year. Reminded me of the preacher that went out turkey hunting. The preacher went out turkey hunting with a couple of his buddies. And a doctor and a lawyer, and a big old gobbler came on the scene. A big old gobbler came on the scene, and boom, boom, boom. Three of them shot at him at one time. Down with that old gobbler. And said, "Who killed that gobbler?" Preacher said, "I killed it." The lawyer said, "I killed it." The doctor said, "No, it's I killed it." They all shot at the same time. They couldn't figure out who killed the turkey. About that time, the game warden showed up and examined the turkey and the game warden. They said, "Well, who you think killed it?" The game warden said, "I know who killed it." "How do you know who killed it?" He said, "The preacher killed it." "How do you know that?" He said, "The bullet went in one ear and went out the other." Amen. So don't let the word of God go in one ear and out the other, all right? We're looking today at the book of Psalm chapter 3. Turn there. The book of Psalm chapter 3. Standing in the need of prayer. I need somebody to pray for me today. You need somebody to pray for you today. We need to get a hold of God. I believe God's going to draw us today. I'm trusting, believing. Listen to me. I'm believing God's going to break through today. The Lord is going to do some great things today. He's going to move some mountains. I believe that God had me up at 2 o'clock this morning waiting on him and saying, "Jesus, please move the mountains. Tear down the strongholds. Lord, set the captives free. Lord, help us to draw near to you." In the book of Psalm chapter 3, if you would stand to your feet as we read the wonderful, infallible, inerrant, unbreakable, eternal, forever settled in heaven word. The word of God. It's got life. It's got power. It's God's living word. In Psalm chapter 3, no doubt David is the author of this psalm. And as we began to pick up in the text, in Psalm chapter 3, standing in the need of prayer, David's on the run. His son Absalom's after him. David, a man after God's own heart. David, the apple of God's eye. Yet David felt like a failure. Question, how many have ever felt like a failure? How many ever messed up? We've all messed up. We've all felt like failures at times. David, though he had committed adultery with Bathsheba, and though he had had her a husband, namely Uriah, murdered, the sword never departed from his house, even though he experienced grace and forgiveness. But Absalom, his son, murdered his other son, Amnon. Why? Because Amnon raped his own daughter. Can you imagine that happening in your own household? And David's on the run in Psalm chapter 3. I'm ready to read verse 1. If you're there, say amen. I'm ready to read verse 1. If you're there, say amen. Just wondering. I can't hear very well. Verse number 1 of chapter 3. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. You ever felt that way? Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. The next word is what? Selah. Let's say that together. Selah. There's difference of opinion what that word means. Some suggest that it's a crescendo mark, marking with music. Others say it's a pause or a silence. Others say it could be emphasized. There, what do you think about that? There, what do you think about that? Selah, there, what do you think about that? Let's use that for a moment. There, what do you think about that? Look at verse 2. Again, many there be which say, my soul, there's no help for him in God. What do you think about that? Verse 3. Thou, O Lord, art. I like verse 3. You need to underline verse 3 if you want to be blessed today. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and, watch this, the lifter up of mine head. The lifter up of mine head. Let's say that together. The lifter up of mine head. Say it again. The lifter up of mine head. Oh, my soul, what a great word. Verse 4. I cried unto the Lord, said David. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. God does hear, doesn't he? I'm telling you, God does answer prayer, doesn't he? God answers it according to his will. Have you got a prayer burden today? Have you got something on your heart today? Cry unto the Lord. Ask the Lord. Jesus said, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Whosoever asketh, receive it. He that seeketh, findeth. To him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Now look at verse 5. I laid me down and slept. Oh, praise God. How many know that a good night's rest is a blessing from God? Oh, yes, it is. Did you get a good night's rest last night? How many got a good night's rest last night? Let me see your hand. Oh, you ought to thank God for it. If you were able to sleep last night, you ought to say, hallelujah, Lord, thank you. I'm going to stop counting the sheep, and I'm going to start counting and talking to the shepherd. Look at this. I laid, verse 5, I laid me down and slept. I wait for the Lord sustain me. That's right. God sustains us at night. Praise the Lord. His angels are camped around and about us. Verse 6, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that they set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me. Oh, my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Selah, and the people of God said, this is the word of the Lord. Father, I confess I'm absolutely nothing without you, but Jesus, with you, I have everything. I pray now for the blood of the Lamb to cleanse me from top to bottom. Inside to outside, mind, will, emotions. Lord, I confess, Lord, I need you. I'm a needy person, and we are all needy today. We ask you now to rend the heavens, pour out your power, Lord. God, our Father, for your glory, extend heaven's blessings on us. And Lord, may you be highlighted up. We bless you, we praise you, we worship you. We thank you that you're alive, you're living, you're risen, and you are coming. And God, we praise you now that you're living in us this very moment. Those of us who've tasted your grace, I thank you for saving my soul. I thank you for making me whole. I thank you for your precious redeeming blood. I thank you, Jesus, for changing my life. And ask now that you teach us to pray, even as the disciples came, Jesus, and said, teach us to pray. Lord, I'm convinced there's men and women and boys and girls and young people in the church today that need a breakthrough, that need answers, and we're looking to heaven, and we're asking you, our Father, for your glory, for your honor, that God, our Father, blessings will rain down, answers will come, and Lord, that you will sustain us with your amazing grace, and you'll, God, you'll give us that supernatural, extraordinary grace from above to endure hardness and to keep running the race. I pray for those that are ready to quit. I pray for those that are discouraged. I pray for those, our Father, that are feeling like failures. You lift us up higher. You cause us to rise above the storms of this old world. And Father God, you quicken the word in our heart today. We thank you, Father, for meeting with us. We praise you, Lord, for the breakthroughs. We give you honor and praise right now, Father, because you're a good God. You're always good. I know I'm unworthy and we're undeserving, but Lord, we just want to say we love you and bless you. In Jesus' name. Amen, and amen, and amen. There are two parts. Watch this. We're going to cut this thing in half. Cut it in half. Two parts of the message today. Number one, there are three kinds of people that are sitting here today. Number two, there are three kinds of prayers that we can pray today. First, there are three kinds of people that are sitting here today. Number one, there are the doubters. Number two, there are the shouters. Number three, there are the pouters. Doubters, shouters, and pouters. Which one are you? Are you a doubter? Look at verse number 1 and verse 2 of Psalm chapter 3. I've never preached some of the text, Psalm 3, but God was just blessing me through his word today. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many, look at verse 2. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. How many believe today as we gather together, believe in God, believe in the promises of God, believing all the promises of God in Jesus, say yea, and in him, amen. Believing that God can do anything but fail. We believe God. I want you to know there's some out there today that think this is a waste of time. They say you don't need to go to church. You don't need to pray. Why, God doesn't hear your prayer and you're just wasting your time talking to God. How many know they're wrong? How many know they're wrong? I'm telling you, God answers prayer according to his will for his glory. And listen to me, beloved. Listen, there are those today that are sitting right here in this church, New Rocky Creek Baptist Church, right now, that are doubters instead of shouters. Why, you've been doubting a long time. I believe that David probably went through three stages. He probably experienced doubting. He probably experienced a little shouting. And he probably experienced some pouting. I'm telling us what we all go through at times. But wait a minute. What about these doubters? You might be here today and say, I don't know if God's real. I don't know if you Christians always talk about prayer, talk about the Bible. I don't know about all this God stuff. I want you to know God is real. He's real. He's real. He is there, a very present help in trouble. He woke me up this morning. Can somebody say amen? He woke me up this morning. I said he got you up this morning. I said you didn't get up by yourself. It was the Holy Ghost of God that tugged you and said time to get up. It was God that got you out of the bed. It was God that sustained you to allow you to walk in the house of God today. Nobody came in on a stretcher. There's not anybody in a wheelchair that I know of. And maybe some of us feel like we need a wheelchair. But praise God, it was God that got us up. It's God that sustains us. It's God that provides for us. And it's God that gets the glory. Oh yes, we ought to thank him now. You see, doubters, they live in a town called unbelief. You know where that town is, unbelief? Have you ever been to unbelief? It's not a good town. You don't want to go there. Unbelief. You know who lives in unbelief? I'll tell you who lives in unbelief. Mr. and Mrs. Doubter, they live on Kent Street, Walt Street, Wilnot Street. They live on, they live on that place over there in Unbelief Town. They're the ones that say, you know, I could have, I should have, I would have. They're the ones that doubt. Listen to me, beloved. You doubt and you do without, but if you believe, you receive. You just got to step out and say, Lord, I might, whoa. You might not understand what all God said in his word. You might not understand fully everything the Lord's saying, but I want you to know, praise God, when we can't see his hand, we can trust his heart. Yes, we can. Some of you been there. Some of you there right now. You didn't know had it not have been for God that picked you up when you couldn't walk on your own, when you didn't know which way you were going, when you didn't know the beginning and the end, when you said, God, if you don't pull me through, I'm a sinking ship. There's some of you right now that God's carrying you by his everlasting arms, because underneath us are his everlasting arms. That's exactly right. So we're not going to fall in that crowd of doubters. No,
faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hey, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the just shall live by faith. Is there somebody here that's saying, but God, I don't believe you can ever change that man. I don't believe you're ever going to change that woman. And Lord, I don't believe they're ever going to be saved. I don't believe, Lord, they're ever going to come to the house of God. You just tell doubt to get out. Tell doubt to get out. Just go ahead and say, doubt, get out of me, because my God can do anything but fail. Some of you have been doubting. God's saying, don't doubt. Rather, shout. Look at verse number 3. The psalmist David said, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter of my head. How many ever get down and discouraged? Let me see your hand. How many ever get discouraged and down? Anybody here ever get depressed? You've had the rain come. The winter time's over. It's springtime, bless God. And now God says, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be unto you. I'm going to see you through, because the Lord is our shepherd. We shall not want.
Amen.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Instead of doubting, bless God, we ought to start shouting. I remember old Brother Mays Jackson came back in 1995. We had an old-fashioned men's meeting over in the other building. How many of you remember that? I don't know if any of you remember that. I remember what it said. I like what it said. Mays Jackson with the Lord in heaven now. He said this. He said, if you don't shout, at least you ought to believe in it. And I know sometimes we say, well, bless God, I'm sophisticated, and you know, I'm intelligent. Intelligent people don't do that. Let me tell you something, my dear brother and my dear sister. What's in you, it's got to come out of you. I said, what's in you, it's got to come out of you. And when God's been good to you, has God been good to you? Has the Lord done things for you? Has the Lord answered prayer in your life? Has the Lord been sustaining you by day and by night? Has God provided for your needs? Is the Lord giving you help day by day? Is he giving you daily bread? There's something about it. When God just keeps raining blessings on us, and the Lord just keeps smiling on us, we don't understand why. We don't deserve it. But I'm telling you, when God just keeps on doing it, we ought to say hallelujah. I know my Redeemer lives. I know he lives. You can doubt all you want to. You can be silent all you want to. But I'm not going to let the rocks beat me. I'm not going to let the rocks clap more than me. Praise God. My God's been good to me. Is there anybody here that has brought you out of the pit? He's brought you out of devil's hell. You had a foot in the grave. Why, if the Lord had not saved you, you'd be 6 feet under. Why, some of us today would be spending eternity in hell had Jesus not snatched us off the wide of the broad gate and brought us on the straight and narrow way and washed us in his blood and made us kings and priests. And now he lives in us, and we're in him, and he's in us, the hope of glory. Oh yes, saints of God ought to be shouting. Well, you say, I don't do that, I don't believe in that. I challenge you to go home. You lock yourself up in your bathroom, get in your closet, get in your room. You ought to shout somewhere. Get in your car. If you're scared somebody's going to hear you, if you're afraid what other people are going to think about you, just get in your car and start shouting. We know you're a fool for Christ anyway. I'll tell you what, I shouted for the devil. How many know what I'm talking about? I serve the devil. I shouted for the devil. It's time the blood-washed church stops worrying about what people are going to think about us. What matters is, praise God, I'm redeemed. I'm a child of God. Out of my innermost being flows rivers of living water. The truth has set me free. Praise God. He has baptized me into the body of Christ. Now, I've got a home that's in heaven. Praise the Lord. And death can't take that away. Death has lost her sting. The grave has lost its victory. Jesus overcame death. Jesus overcame sin. Jesus overcame the grave. And I'm in him, and he's in me, and he's my Lord and Savior. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Hey, I'm going to start shouting and blessing the Lord. Why? I don't have all my wants, but I got all my needs. Somebody ought to say, yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's the daily bread on the table. It's the clothes on our back. It's the roof over our head. It's the shoes on our feet. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and the world and they that dwell there. Listen to me. David said it this way. He said, once I was young, but now I'm old. Yet I've never wanted to watch this now. Senior adults, you got to catch this. Once I was young, but now I am old. Yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken, neither is seed begging bread. It's God that's been good. It's the hand of God that's laid bare his mighty power. And it's the Lord that's provided for me. It's the Lord that's protected me. It's the Lord's presence in me. It's God that's with me every step of the way. It's God. I didn't do it by myself. I didn't pull up my own bootstraps. Let's give credit where credit's due. God's been good to us. Hey, you didn't get where you're at because of your own intuition. You didn't get where you're at because of your own creativity. You got where you're at now because God's let you get where you're at now. That's right. How many have ever heard the name Don Moen? You see, instead of doubting, we start shouting. Don Moen wrote a song. You know what the song is? God will make a way when there seems to be no way. God will make a way. God will make a way. Do you know the history of that song? Don Moen, his wife, was sitting at their home. All of a sudden, the telephone rang. Hello? On the other end was his mother-in-law. His mother-in-law informed him of the terrible, tragic news. Your sister-in-law, namely his wife's sister and her husband, Susan and Craig, had just been in a terrible wreck. Their oldest son was killed. Their other sons were tragically, severely hurt. Don and his wife didn't know what to do, standing in the need of prayer. What do you do when you don't know what to do? Standing in the need of prayer. It was Don that sat down and he penned those words. God will make a way. When there seems to be no way, God will make a way. God works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He'll take me by his side. He'll be my God. Oh yeah. With love and strength, he will be with me. He is going to make a way. I tell you, there's somebody you that doesn't know what the future holds. But I came to tell you, he holds the future. I don't know about the Social Security. I don't know about my retirement. I don't know about what my family's going to do. I'm not sure about my job. I don't know if my health is going to fail me or if I'm going to have good health. But I know this. I know my Lord said I'm not going to leave him nor forsake me. And I said, I know my God's going to see me through it. He's going to make a way. I said he's going to make a way. You might not see it now, but he's trustworthy. He will make a way. Is there somebody here that says, man, but I've been in debt a long time. And somebody said, I've been in a debt a long time. I need to get out of debt. God said, I'll make a way. You put me first. You seek my kingdom and my righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. Learn to give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give unto your bosom. Matter of fact, over there in Malachi said, bring you all the tithes of the storehouse. Let me meet in my house. Prove it out. He will say, the Lord of hosts, I'll not open up the windows of heaven. Pour you out a blessing. You'll not be able to contain it. I'll curse the divine. How many believe that when you put Jesus first, you start blessing the Lord will start blessing you. Something about it. Our Father said this. You being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children. How much more will your heavenly Father give good things to them that ask him? Yes, number two. Not only three kinds of people, but let's hasten to go a little further and see that there are three kinds of prayers every Christian can pray today. Three kinds of prayers. Here they are. Very simple. Prayer for the past. Again, prayer for the past. Secondly, prayer for the present. And third, prayer for the future. First,
prayer for the past. Look with me in verse number 3 of Psalm chapter 3. It's a great verse. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of my head. Look at verse 4. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Prayer for the past. Let's take a little survey. How many of you have prayed prayers in the past and God's answered them? Have you prayed and God asked you something? Hey, travel down memory lane. Don't you have a senile forgetfulness right now. By the way, did you hear that old man that went to the, that old boy that went to the doctor? The doctor told him, he examined him. He said, I tell you what you need to do. You need to take this blue pill in the morning, drink a full glass of water. Take this green pill for lunchtime, drink a full glass of water. And a red pill for supper and drink a full glass of water. Green pill in the morning, blue pill, and then red pill. Drink a full glass of water. The man said, all right, doc. He said, do that 7 days. Come back to see me. The man said, all right, doc, what's my problem? Doctor said, you're not drinking enough water. Don't forget the blessings of God. No wonder David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. Let's say that together. I will bless the Lord at all times. One more time. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And my soul shall make a boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. It was David. That is Psalm 34, by the way. And it was David that said in Psalm chapter 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? It was David that said in Psalm 19 and 1, he said, the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth his handiwork. From day to day thou dost speech and from night to night thou showeth knowledge. It was David that said in Psalm 46, 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, and though the waters are of war and are troubled. Oh yes, it was David that said in Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things so thy youth is renewed like the eagles. It was David that said in Psalm 107 and verse 1 and 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Oh yes, prayer in the past. Hey, wait a minute. We sat there on Thursday night at the old-fashioned men's campfire meeting. I looked around the old-fashioned campfire meeting, and brother and sister, I want you to know there was God at work in that meeting, and God was answering some prayer. Can some of our men say amen? God was answering prayer. God was in the midst. The Lord was refreshing us. The Lord was renewing us. The Lord was leading us on. And we say, thank you, blessed Jesus. We give you praise and glory. Prayer in the past. Secondly, prayer in the present. Prayer in the present. Jesus said in Luke 18:1, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Let's say that together. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Say it again. Men ought always to pray, not to faint. That means don't cave in. That means don't give up. That means don't throw in the towel. Men ought always to pray. No wonder the disciple said in Luke chapter 11, Lord, teach us to pray. No wonder Jesus said in John chapter 16 and verse number 12, I believe it is, or 14. No, it's 24. John chapter 16 and verse 24. Hitherto, have you asked nothing in my name? Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Jeremiah 33 and 3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. No wonder John said in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14 and 15. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything, watch this, according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we desired of him. Oh yes, oh yes. Jesus said again, ask and seek it not.
John chapter 14 and verse 13 and 14. Jesus said this, whatsoever shall ask the Father in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17, pray without ceasing. Let's say it together. Pray without ceasing. Say it again. Pray without ceasing. Oh yeah, James chapter 5 and verse 16. James said, confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that you might be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, it availeth much. Oh, there's a lot of prayer promises in the Word of God. Oh yes, there are. Prayer in the past. Prayer in the present. One of our men, speaking of prayer in the present. How many are there in the old-fashioned campfire meeting? You remember the man that stood up, tears in his eyes. He said, pray for me. He said, pray for my family. He said, my son's lost. My son's not saved. If he dies, he's going to go to hell. Tears well up in his eyes. I'm telling you. And what do you do when somebody asks for prayer? You pray, amen. That's what you do. And we gathered around that dear brother and said, God, please, for Jesus' sake, for your glory, stretch forth your hand to power. Remove the scales from his eyes. Quicken the word in his heart. Work repentance. Give him a U-turn. Lord God, turn him around. He's going in the wrong direction. Help him to turn to you. Is there anybody here that's been going in the wrong direction? I got good news for you. God allows U-turns. You turn around. Start going the other way. Start going the other way. Prayer in the present. How many need to today? How many need today to pray? Somebody needs to pray today. You got a prayer on your heart. You got a family member on your heart. Pray. Men ought always to pray. Not to faint. Then, not only prayer in the past, prayer in the future. Prayer in the past, prayer in the present, last and I've been done, prayer in the future. How many need prayer for the future? We all do. In a moment we're going to pray. In a moment we're going to pray. If you looked at some of the tenses of the verb, in fact, when David said, I cried unto the Lord, it's a future tense verb, meaning I'm crying, but I'm going to continue to cry to the Lord. Can I be selfish just for a moment? I need prayer. You need prayer. We all need prayer. Lord willing, watch this. 3 weeks from today. 3 weeks and a couple of days. Lord willing, I'll be going to Israel. Never been there before. Believe it's the will of God. Going to Israel. 10 days. Then going to Jordan. Never been there. Then going to Turkey. How many know that Turkey is 98% Muslim? 98% Muslim. How many know that the Turkish airline has shot down a Syrian airline already? I'm just saying this. I need prayer. Going to Turkey. Praise God. The will of God will never take you, with the grace of God will not keep you. And then to top it off, Lord willing, going to Rome. I must go to Rome, said Paul. Can I tell you, it's probably going to be a dangerous trip. But can I tell you, once we get out of New York City, we'll be fine. Everything's going to be okay once we get out of New York. Smooth sailing all the way. How many need prayer for the future? I believe the Lord wants us right there to stop. And I believe the Lord wants us to lift up each other in prayer as we speak. Stand together.